Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible. Here, we study the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of God, we have been able to do 22 books of the Bible, and that's from the book of Genesis till where we are right now in Isaiah. If you've not been able to listen to the podcast we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app, Bible In-Depth Network, and also through all podcast channels, Podbean, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, every other podcast channel, you'll find us there. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you even as you listen. He'll also reveal His word to you, because there is no limitation to revelation. God reveals His word to whoever shows the need. Whoever is interested, God will come out and reveal His word to you. Now we are handling the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet who lived in the time of Judah before their exile, and also during the time of their exile. And he speaks to them, the kings of Judah, the people of Judah and Jerusalem, during those periods. And we've done 5 chapters so far. Today I want us to continue with chapter 6. It starts by saying, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2, he flew." Now, we're being told of seraphim. And they have 6 wings. 2 cover the face, 2 cover the feet, 2 fly. "And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Even the celestial, even the holy beings recognize the glory of the Lord over the earth. And they know that it is this King, this Lord, He's holy, He's the one that covers all things. Yeah? Well, that's an important statement for us to know, that it is about the Lord and it is only Him. And now we are being told about these seraphim, and they're before the Lord. Yeah? And Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 tells us, "And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day not night," yeah, "saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.'" And of course, the reference here we see is that it is similar to what Isaiah sees, yeah. So the vision he sees is referenced in Revelations, and there's actual existence of these beings. Yeah, the book of Revelation calls them beasts. Yeah, and also comes out and tells you they have 6 wings, just like Isaiah saw it. You know, the Bible, when you do cross-reference, it speaks and confirms what you read in one place. And those are some of the considerations, by the way, that were made when they were including books in the Bible. They would look at, do they cross-reference somewhere? Do they attach to another scripture somewhere? And then they were included. But here, with Revelations 4:8, you have confirmation of what Isaiah sees. And he is seeing these same beasts that are being spoken of here. Yeah, with 6 wings. 2 cover the face, because they cannot afford to look at him. They cannot afford to look at the Lord. Yeah, his glory is so much. And 2 cover their feet, and 2, they fly with the 2. And this is what Isaiah is seeing in a vision. Yeah? "And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah, in his vision, is saying, I am troubled, I'm in danger. I am a man of unclean lips. And this is a something that Isaiah puts out for us. He's a prophet. He's seeing a great vision, but he still comes out to recognize that I'm human and I err. I make mistakes. I speak sometimes wrong. My mouth, my lips are unclean. And this is just a bare fact. We all fall. We all fall. We all make mistakes. Preacher or not, pastor or not, prophet or not, because this is a prophet who is saying, I'm a man of unclean lips. He knows what he did yesterday and then receives the vision in the night, probably. And he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And sometimes we come out to claim that we are the most righteous. We do not wrong. We don't do wrong. But hey, this is a fact. We are all people and we're wrong. And that's why we need the grace of God to help us to stand. That's why we need the grace of God to help us to be people who are honorable before Him. But he comes out and says, I am a man of unclean lips. And even if I can claim that I am clean, the people with whom I dwell, those that I live among, are unclean. And sometimes it's your surrounding that dirtens you. It's your surrounding that messes you up. You could have done your best to keep smart during the day. But it rained and you walk into the city and people are driving into the muddy places and are hitting all the dirt on you. You didn't do anything to get yourself dirty. But as you walked, the surrounding made you unclean. And here, for him, he knows that where he dwells are places of unclean lips, where the people with whom he dwells are not clean. Hence, they play a part on his uncleanliness. And he says, with all this uncleanliness I have, my eyes have seen the King. My eyes have seen the King. They've seen the Lord of hosts. My eyes have come out to see the Lord with all the uncleanliness that I have. And Luke 5:8 tells us, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a man who is sinful. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Sometimes we look at our sinfulness and we push away the glory of the Lord. Sometimes you look at how dirty and how much you've fallen and you want to push away the glory of the Lord. Sometimes you look at your past and you see how much it's been messed up and you want to push away the glory of the Lord. You don't want to be near Him. You're saying, I am so unclean, I'm not worthy, but for Him He has called you. This is what happened with Peter also. He's been called, but he feels he's not worthy. And that's what Jesus comes to take away. He says, do not look at your past. Do not look at the life that you've had. Come, I need you. Come and join my army. Come and join my group. Come and join my force, that which is filled with salvation. And that is the same boat Isaiah is in here. Hey, it's the glory of the Lord. You've seen the King. Put aside your fear. Put aside your consideration of yourself. Put aside that and know that new life can begin. God can take you to another level. Yeah. So when great things are happening to us, when big things are being revealed to us by the Lord, we do not have to check into the past and get into our record of sins and uncleanliness. No. Look to the future, because God has brought it to you. He's bringing salvation near. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Of course, with the fact that he was feeling unclean and not very comfortable with whatever was going on, that I'm seeing greatness, yet I am unclean. One of the seraphim says, let me sort this for you. Let me come and cleanse you. Yeah, and he's saying, I am unclean, but the other one is saying, okay, where you are, there is access to something great. And the mindset you have is going to stop you or block you from receiving this in its entirety. You know, when God is revealing things to us and we are busy checking our records, there is something we miss out. So, what does the seraphim do? He flies, brings a coal burning, puts it on his mouth, says, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." This happens to him in a vision, right in the court of the Lord, in the courts of the Lord. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." What happens with Isaiah is a burning coal that the seraphim brings and says, "Your sins are cleansed." But to me right now, today, and to you who's listening to me today, Jesus, it is his blood that takes away the sin. It is his blood that takes away the iniquity, that takes away that fear that I have of sin that is surrounding my life. It is the blood of Jesus. And I accept him as my Lord and Savior. I accept the power of his blood, and my sins are washed away. And I do not have to live in the record of sins anymore. I don't have to live into my past, checking what I've done and all that, whether my record is clean. It's the blood of Jesus by grace that we are saved. And it's by grace that this iniquity has been taken away. So, the seraphim says, "I'll sort this out for you. I'll go out, put this on your lips," and eventually tells him, "Your iniquity is taken away. Now, get the full issue that you've come up here for. It's time for you to hear what the Lord is telling you, because with all these considerations in your life of how unclean you are, you will not take what the Lord is giving you in full force." So after sins have been forgiven, starts to say, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord." In the field he was, trying to look at how dirty he is, he could not hear the Lord. "When I have failed to trust in Jesus and know of the fact that he has helped me, he has healed me, he has forgiven me by his blood and his death at the cross, until I know about that power of the cross, I cannot hear the Lord. Even when he speaks, I'll think he's not talking to me. Even when he speaks, I'll think the consideration is not mine because I'm unclean." But now, after Isaiah is sure from what the seraphim has done to touch his lips and tell him that your iniquity is taken, all your sins are forgiven, he hears the voice of the Lord. And what is he saying? "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am." Isaiah comes out and says, "I'm here. It's me. Send me." He said, "Go and tell these people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand." What had happened for these people to get into such a state that they've been told, even when they listen, they will not perceive. Even when they look, they will not understand. John chapter 12 verse 40 says, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." This is a very dangerous state to be in, where it is intentional for you not to understand, intentional for you not to be saved, intentional for you not to be converted. What these people had done must have been so bad and grave that the Lord said, even when it comes before their eyes, they shall not see, they shall not be converted. Render the hearts of these people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. That's what he's saying. Then I said, "Lord, how long?" Because Isaiah knows how hard this is going to be. I mean, people are not going to be healed because there's been an intentional blockage of realization, an intentional blockage of understanding, an intentional blockage of hearing and seeing that which God is doing. That's a dangerous state to be in. It's dangerous judgment to go for when it is said that you will see nothing. you will hear nothing. Everything shall be before you, but you shall not comprehend it. And that's what is going out to these people. So Isaiah comes and says, how long? How long will this happen? This will be dangerous for us. And he answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, judgment has already gone out for Judah. Houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. This holy seed of Israel, these people of the Lord, judgment has come upon them. And Isaiah is witnessing it. Chapter 7. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Ramaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not conquer it. Now, we are being taken back here to events of the book of Kings. And Pekah is an Israelite. He's a king of Israel. But remember, there's been a division, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And now Israel is attacking Judah. Yeah, and he's going to get the help of Rezin, who is one of the kings of the nations in the land, and says, come and let's go fight Judah. Yeah. So they go to Jerusalem to wage war. But what happened? They could not conquer it. When it was reported to the house of David, saying, the Arameans have camped in Ephraim, his heart and the hearts of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz, you and your son Shear Jashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take care and be calm, have no fear and do not be faint-hearted, because these two stubs of smoldering firebrands, on account of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah, because Aram with Ephraim the son of Remaliah has planned evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrorize it, and make for ourselves a breach in its walls, and set up a son of Tabel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. It's coming out for them as Judah, that God is protecting them. It's coming out for Ahaz, that God is protecting him. It doesn't matter how much is coming and how much has been plotted over his life, over his kingdom, it shall not come to pass, because God says, I will protect you. And it doesn't matter sometimes, even in our lives, how much we look at. What this guy was looking at was not just one army. It was an alliance with one of the great kings in the land. Yeah? And they've come to attack. And I believe when he looked, he saw there is no hope. And sometimes in life we look and see there is no hope. That the things that have allied to bring you down are great and mighty. But the word of the Lord comes out and tells you, be strong. Be strong. It shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. That which they've plotted over your life, that which they've said that you're going to fail in life, be strong, because it shall not come to pass. People do not control our lives. It's God. People do not determine our life. It's God. And let's have the confidence in him. Let's believe in him to fight for us our battles, because he's the God that fights our battles. Even when the enemy comes to attack, I need to trust in the Lord. I need to know that my God shall protect me. And that's the word that's coming out to Ahaz. They're telling him, it shall not stand nor come to pass. These two groups of armies that you see coming, they shall not touch you. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Now within another 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered, so that it shall no longer be a people. Now this is Israel itself that they are speaking about, that is going to be shattered and destroyed. Yeah. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you will not believe, you shall not last. Believe in the word that you've been given. Yeah. Those who want to attack Judah shall not succeed. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol, all high as heaven. He's saying, I'll give you a leeway. Ask for a sign. Make it as deep as you want, all as high as you want. Yeah? But Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, listen now. Ahaz is fearing to speak. He's saying, I cannot ask. I cannot test the Lord. And he says, listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Listen to it. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. That is the sign he's giving them. Of course, this is to come in the future, but it's a sign for your salvation. It is a sign for your hope as Judah. It is a sign that the Lord shall protect you and shall make sure that goodness and mercy and favor fills you as Judah, as God's people, as God's chosen. And what is that sign? It is a sign of Emmanuel. It is a sign of he that is to come. It is a sign of the one that we praise, the one that we worship, the one that we always talk of and speak of and sing of. He's coming in the future, yes, but then that is a sign I give you today. And I imagine what happens to them in this part. And they continue and say, he will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. There has been a verdict that is coming out here. And it is with the child that is to come. Matthew chapter 1 verse 33 tells us, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. They are being promised that you fear now. You fear the armies that come. You fear the attacks they are rendering towards you. But a day is coming when God will be with you. A day is coming of Emmanuel, where he'll be with you, and nothing shall touch you. And here we're not just talking about physical things and physical armies. We talk spiritual worlds. That I need to know that those things that come and try to threaten me and tell me that I will not go forward, that I will fail in life, there is Emmanuel, God with me. He is here with me, and I do not fail in anything. Either on the earth or below, nothing shall touch me. Nothing shall overcome me because of God with me. Emmanuel. That's a promise that is being given to them. The Lord will bring on you your people and on your father's house such days as have never come since the day that Ephraim separated from Judah, the king of Assyria. In that day, the Lord will whistle for the fly that is in the remotest parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. They will all come and settle on the steep ravines, on the ledges of the cliffs, and on the thorn bushes, and on all the watering places. In that day the Lord will shave with a razor, hired from regions beyond the Euphrates, that is, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs, and it will also remove the beard. Now in that day a man may keep alive a heifer and a pair of sheep, and because of the abundance of the milk produced, he will eat curds. For everyone that is left within the land will eat curds and honey. And it will come about in that day that every place where there used to be 1,000 vines valued at 1,000 shekels of silver will become briars and thorns. People will come there with bows and arrows, because all the land will be briars and thorns. As for the hills which used to be cultivated with the hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns, but they will become a place for pasturing oxen and for sheep to trample. Now, this day is being spoken for the trials that Judah is going to face. Of course, they're talking of the separation of Judah and Ephraim. Ephraim finally decides to split from them. And there's judgment that comes with that, of course. But also for the people of Judah, there is judgment that has been laid forward. Whatever they used to do shall not be done anymore. The farming shall not come out. Their land shall become a place that is inhabitable. They cannot even get food out of it. Why? Because of judgment that has come. Now, there are some things that we do in life, and they bring judgment upon our lives. They're even being told of attacks, kings of Assyria. They've been told what's coming, of course, with the captivity that is going to get into their lives from Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. And it is all down to failure to listen to the Lord. The story would have been different. The message would have been different if these people had kept their stand with the Lord. There are some things in life that happen because we fail to listen to the Lord. There are some things we go through in life, and the major reason we are going through them is because we failed to listen to the Lord. But God has given us the grace. He has given us His one and only Son, who came and died for our own salvation. He came and laid His life for us, that we may receive a new beginning, that we may receive a new life, that our sins may be cleansed. And what do I do right now? I run to Him. And those that run to Him are safe from judgment. There's a judgment that is to come. There's a judgment that is looming. And the day is coming when all this earth will be wound and everything will be done, complete. And it will be a time for judgment where you have to go before the Lord and account for your life. I pray that my life has a good account, because I long for eternal life, not punishment. Judah here is going through a terrible time, and nothing can be changed about it. Yes, Emmanuel will come to save them from all this trouble that they are going through, but judgment has been set upon them, and they are going to see it. God has given us the grace today by sending His Son, that the curse is broken, that the briars and thorns cannot scratch us, cannot hinder us anymore, because of the Son that we have been given, the Lord Himself, who is with us. This prophecy came to be fulfilled that we read, that behold, a virgin shall give birth, and a child shall be born, and his name shall be Emmanuel. This prophecy that is being given here was fulfilled. He was born. He came. He is with us. And with us, that curse is broken. The iniquity is broken. The failure in my life is broken, because I have one to lean on to. But whenever I fail to recognize this and I get back into the world, I'm prone to judgment and there's no protection for me. My cry today for us is to always remember the saving power of Jesus, the one that was given to us. And this is a month where we celebrate, we pick to celebrate the birth of Christ. This is a time we pick to celebrate the birth of this child that is being spoken of here in this book of Isaiah, where a virgin gave birth and his name was Emmanuel. And this is a period for us to always make sure we rekindle the fire. We get back in close connection. And for those that do not have that relationship, to seek for it, it is simple. You just accept Him in your life and let Him take full control of your life. When you do that, everything is safe. Your life is safe. Your future is safe. Your family is safe. Everything is safe, because it is only with the Lord that you're safe. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your Son, the one that you promised, and He came. He came to take away our sin. And we thank you for that sacrifice that you sent to die on the cross at Calvary for our sins. Lord, help us walk with you. Help us put all that we are in your word. And may we always honor you and worship you all the days of our lives. We give you glory and we exalt you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.